Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
2-3 The Fan. Hopefully we'll have Brian Anderson for you shortly. But before we get to that, start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin this Saturday, January 4th, starting at 1 p.m. through kickoff at 4:30 p.m. Make the Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, and Sewer. Dan Madigan in today. You can also get details for the Fan Tailgate at 92.3thefan.com. Dan Madigan in for Baskin and Phelps today. A very happy new year to everybody who is out there as well. I think due to the Larry David rule, I think this is the last day that we will be able to wish everybody a happy new year that is out there. And by the time we're all talking on Monday, we will be past that one. So we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, I think due to the Larry David rule, we're about done with that one. We've been talking about all sorts of different stuff today. A little bit of Cavaliers earlier as well. We got to get some happiness in our life with the Cavaliers. The guards have been doing they've had an interesting offseason. The guards have had a real interesting offseason along the way. You'd like to see them add maybe a little bit more high-end talent, but we'll see. It felt like last year was going to be the rebuilding year, and then they were able to turn it around. But the big one, of course, has been the Browns. They are preparing to play at 4:30 on Saturday. You'll be able to hear that on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. And we've turned the page. As a show, I've just decided we're done. I don't care about Week 18. I can't get into Bailey Zappi as starting quarterback. I feel like this game should have a running clock because we should just get this thing done ASAP. It's become so sad that this is the position that we are in, that I'm just completely turning the page. And so we're trying to fix the Browns. We're trying to find different avenues to do it. It is sounding like Kevin Stefanski is coming back. It is sounding like Andrew Berry is coming back. Folks, I'll be the first to say, if you wanted Andrew Berry gone, you could talk me into it. It would make sense. I think his drafts have been fine. I don't think they have buried this team. There's enough guys that are on this roster that I think are keepers that I don't think it's the end of the world if he comes back. But it's one of those where if the Browns decided we are moving on from Andrew Berry because we think we could do better with these draft picks, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Yes, he biffed the Jedrick Wills pick, right? He biffed that one. That was horrendous. I think Greg Newsome, the problem that I have is if you take a pick in the first round and the guy ends up being a productive player in the NFL, I don't think that makes him a bust. And maybe that's just the wrong way to look at this, but boy, if you're giving me a 50-50 shot, which is what they claim that first round picks are, they're 50-50 shots in the league. If a guy hits and is playing in the NFL, I don't think that's a bust and I don't think that's a miss. And that's where Greg Newsome is. I don't think Greg Newsome is a bust. I think they took a player who belongs in the NFL and is going to have a good career in the NFL, whether it's here or somewhere else. Sorry. I can't call him a bust. Martin Emerson is a keeper. Grant Delpit is a keeper. JOK, hopefully he gets well soon. We're all rooting for him. That guy's a keeper. I think Isaiah McGuire is a keeper. I think DeJuan Jones is a keeper, though he's a little bit teetering more than I'd like, but I think talent is through the roof for him of somebody who can make a difference. If we're going through other draft picks, I think Cedric Tillman probably falls into that category as a keeper. Hopefully we see it with Jerome Ford as well. I don't think he is a bust in any way. He seems like a keeper. Alex Wright could turn around. That would be great. We're kind of more in the questionable side with Alex Wright, the questionable ones as well. Mike Hall has looked really good to this point. I would like to be able to go an entire offseason without having the cops called for Mike Hall, but we will have to live through life to figure out that one. If you wanted to make the case that Andrew Berry should be fired, I'll listen. But it's one of those where if we really sit down outside of the Jedrick Wills biff, I can't blame him. We just had in the Jeremy Fowler piece where Jeremy came out right there and said Jimmy Haslam made the Deshaun Watson signing. Folks, we can't blame Andrew Berry. We haven't. We were told, hey, this is the guy that did the Deshaun Watson signing. It was the owner. Done. Let's put that one to bed. Maybe he, you know, kind of gave the head nod of, oh, yeah, this is something that could possibly work. But the Jeremy Fowler piece laid out right there that, hey, this was Jimmy Haslam. So, alas, here we are. I can't blame him for that one. The Jerry Jeudy trade looks really good right now. The Elijah Moore trade looks like a biff. That one looks like a mistake. So we're up to two that are pretty serious mistakes that fall on Andrew Berry. One of them being Jedrick Wills, and the other one being giving up a second round pick for Elijah Moore. If we keep playing this game and going down this list, the Amari Cooper trade, you traded nothing to get him. You had him for 2 years, and then you got a third round pick back. I think you traded like a fourth or a fifth to get him. It made sense. I questioned signing Jerry Jeudy to a long-term deal. That looks pretty smart right now, making him the 22nd highest paid receiver in football. That looks pretty darn smart. I'd take that move. Hey, that works. You're not going to bat 1,000. You're not going to go into these drafts, and especially if you have gotten rid of first and second round picks, you're not going to walk into these drafts and find yourself in a spot where you're just knocking it out of the park with third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks. It's really, really hard to do that. I know the Rams have been able to pull that off a little bit. The Saints did it. But boy, even if you point to the Saints side of it, they had one of those drafts, and then after that, it's kind of been shaky. I am not moving on from Andrew Berry. But it's one of those that falls under, like, if somebody came in and said, yep, that guy's got to go, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I get what you're saying. I get where your head is. I get what you understand. I might be, you know, sitting on the fence on that one. People may not like that idea, but I'm fine with it. Because I think the head coach can coach. And if somebody's got to go and the offensive coordinator isn't the answer to it, then Andrew Berry is the one that's going to have to go. And I'm going to nod my head and go, okay, I get it. I see it. They've biffed a couple picks. They've biffed enough trades. They made some free agent signings that didn't pan out. Okay, I get it. You're all in, and something's got to give, and you can't fire the player. So what do we do? Then that guy's got to go. All right, that guy's got to go. I understand where they would come from if they moved on from Andrew Berry. I also understand if they brought him back. Now the real question will be, you've got this high draft pick for the first time since Jedrick Wills. We could do with it, bud. What are you going to do with it? That's the million-dollar question through all of this. Nelson and Avon Lake, welcome to the show, man. Hey, Nelson, you there? Oh, I never turned the phone on. I apologize, Nelson. Welcome to the show.
Oh, that's all right, man. No, thank you. Thank you for the time. And, you know, happy new year.
We can say for the last time.
We can say for the last time today in the honor of Larry David's rule.
So the Larry David rule. We are done with the happy new year after today. I love it. I'm in.
I could appreciate it. But listen, you know, as fans, right, we have always have the benefit of the being revisionist historians, right?
Right.
And I always start with the name me set replacement for AB. I argue that AB, with the exception of the one decision, which we know what decision that is, and all that we're hearing, and we have no other, you know, recourse but to believe it, that it was an organizational decision. AB has done as good a job, if not better, some would argue, than set replacement. Because name me right now, if we were to say, hey, okay, we're going to let AB go and we're going to replace him with X, who would that person be? And, you know, I totally get the
Jedrick. I love you saying this, Nelson. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I totally get the Jedrick, you know, as a mark against, you know, AB. But name me one other, you know, general manager in the NFL that has not made a mistake when drafting a player. Drafting players is a coin flip. It's a 50-50 proposition with some exceptions, you know, like obviously we have one of those on our team, like Miles. He was a for sure, right? More than likely for sure potential Hall of Famer, and it looks like in his trajectory is that. But you would argue Cedric Tillman before the concussion looks like a player.
Yep.
Owusu-Koramoah, unfortunately, after the injury, looks like a player.
Yep.
You can name a number of players that are on this roster. And listen, not every player is going to be a superstar, right? You have, you know, 10 to maybe 20% of your roster that are your superstar, you know, superstars. The other 80% are guys that are serviceable, good players who stay in this league for 5 to 10 years. And in my opinion, AB has done a really good job. It's fair to say, absolutely fair to say, and the fans that are calling saying, hey, listen, you got to hold people accountable, 100% agree. But to say, hey, we're going to fire these guys because they had a bad year and AB's doing a bad job, I, in my humble opinion, as a fan and trying to be objective, I think that would be a wrong move. But, hey, thanks for the time, brother. I appreciate you.
Of course, Nelson. Take care. And that's where I sit, too. It's the other side of this that I have. Somebody said this. I forget who it was. It was actually, like, somebody smart, but it sounds like something that would have came off of one of the TLC shows or one of the Home and Garden Channel shows. It is much easier to come in with a sledgehammer and destroy everything than it is to rebuild everything. And it feels like everybody's mad. And for good reason. This season was one of the biggest disappointments the Browns have had in a very, very long time. We're all grumpy. We're all not thrilled. We're all ticked off at the fact that we're going to have to watch meaningless football in a primetime window on a Saturday. The only thing that we're all happy about is that it's a Saturday at 4:30 so we can go to bed grumpy, wake up on Sunday, and feel better about the world. That's the positive. Anybody can walk in with a sledgehammer and destroy. It's the construction that is hard. And I look at the landscape of general managers and think to myself, is the grass greener on the other side than it is right here? I know you have to hold people accountable. I know we can't all just throw our hands up in the air because money was spent all over the place and throw our hands up and go, oops. I get that. I laid the blame on the offense on the feet of Ken Dorsey. I laid the blame of the team itself on the feet of Jimmy Haslam. We're not moving on from Jimmy Haslam. That's not happening. So, do you trust the guys who are in charge to make these decisions? And if you actually look at what Andrew Berry has done, I think the answer to that is yes. But if they were to move on from him on Monday, I wouldn't be shocked because I can't fire the players. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. I don't know where this all goes from here, but I'm fascinated to see where it all ends up.
told to me, and nobody with the Browns is going to reveal their full plan, and it's probably too early for that, but from what I was told, it's like, okay, Andrew Berry and the personnel department every year has made some level of splash. Like, they might not be making a $100 million deal, but whether it's Jack Conklin, you know, Austin Hooper, John Johnson, Dalvin Tomlinson, like, they're close to the top of market on a lot of these free agent signings. Either that or they're making trades, right? Amari, Jerry Jeudy, all these deals. So they're going to be somewhat aggressive by nature. It's like measured but aggressive. As was told to me, like, it could be as aggressive in the aggregate, but it might not be as splashy. Like, they might not be trying to pay top of market for guys, but they could be just as aggressive in trying to fill needs with, like, good players or using 11 draft picks and maybe spinning that to get a veteran. Or, like, they have a lot of possibilities where I feel like they will be aggressive by the end of it. Enough so that it will be clear that they're not doing a teardown rebuild. I mean, everybody I talk to says this is not a tank teardown rebuild situation at all. Like, they feel like there are enough core tenants in place, three or four players on each side of the ball you can still build around if you could just improve it. I think they're going to get better in the running game, whether it's like bring Nick Chubb back and then either draft a guy high or get another good free agent. I think they know that's a priority for them. It's been missing in part because of Chubb's injuries. I think they're going to address that in a fairly big way.
That was Jeremy Fowler, who joined us yesterday on the show to break down his giant piece that he had in ESPN about the future of the Browns and which direction that this is all going and who's all involved. But the big part of that there being Andrew Berry, and it is sounding like Andrew Berry is coming back and he is safe, and he's drawn a lot of vitriol from a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. Some of them valid, some of them a little less valid. But I think more than anything, I understand everybody's anger that something has to change and there needs to be repercussions for what has taken place with this team. I agree with those sentiments that there needs to be some kind of repercussion that says this is not good enough, this is not going to work. I also agree with the sentiment that Jeremy has there. I think the more that we look at this roster and the more we look at the direction that this is going to go, I don't think this is a teardown. I don't think we're trading Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. I don't think Joel Bitonio is retiring. I don't think all of those different things. You're going to have to thread a needle. It's going to be a very hard needle to thread. What you're going to have to do is get a veteran quarterback who maybe you can wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hint, hint, will be the starter. Maybe it's Kirk Cousins. I think Sam Darnold will be out of their price range. I have a feeling he's either going to get franchise tagged by the Vikings or there's another team that's going to go, here's an insane amount of money for Sam Darnold. I have a feeling that's the direction that that's going to go. I think we're going to be in, maybe Derek Carr gets cut. Maybe that one makes sense too. If you like Derek Carr, we'll see what happens with the Saints. They're kind of at a crossroads as well, except the arrow for them is not exactly pointing up. Yeah, they're going to have a top five pick in this draft. It looks that way. You're going to have to hit that pick. I'm not taking a quarterback. I refuse to take a quarterback in this draft. I don't think it as a top five pick that is the smart thing for your franchise to do. People are going to do it. Cam Ward is going to come off the board early. Shedeur Sanders is going to come off the board early because you either have a quarterback or you don't have a quarterback. And I think the smartest thing that the Browns could do as a franchise is look at those two guys. And if you want to, you know, and say, no. No, these guys aren't good enough. These guys can't come in and make the immediate difference that I need for my team right now. That's the truth, folks. If you sit there and watch Cam Ward and you sit there and watch Shedeur Sanders and really look at how they're playing at their particular schools, you'll look at these guys and come to a pretty similar conclusion that a lot of people will, which is they can't help you now. They might help you 2 years from now, but they can't help you right now. And this team needs help right now. So that's where the veteran quarterback side of it comes. And you're getting it from a couple different directions. And I actually kind of like this direction. Our social media mentions, which are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Like Mike does to me here. And at the Sports Fellers, how you get a hold of me. If CLE Talking Heads is a little bit easier for you to get to because you have that one saved, great. We can get it there too. But Mike brings up a good point. First, he wanted to correct me on something, and I really appreciate him correcting. It was not just the 42nd pick for Elijah Moore. It was Elijah Moore and the pick that became Cedric Tillman in the third round. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that one. Thank you for the correction on that, that there was more compensation to it. So it wasn't just a straight swing and miss for a second round pick, but still, you probably would have rather had that second round pick back than trading it for Elijah Moore, who I think we can determine that that experiment isn't exactly profitable as much as we'd like it to be. He brings up drafting Travis Hunter with the third overall pick. I don't mind that. I really don't mind that. That's a guy who could come in and make an immediate impact. You can make an impact on offense, can make an impact on defense as well. I mean, he is special. Travis Hunter is just straight special. And that dude makes you better immediately. I'm in. Look, folks, my job is to get better now. I know the job of a general manager, you know, the job of a head coach is to get better tomorrow. The job of a general manager is to make sure you can sustain getting better 3 years from now. I get that. I know a lot of people are going to circle quarterback and say this team needs a quarterback now. And I agree. Like, 100% agree with you. Deshaun Watson's not the answer at quarterback. I think we can all agree to that one. I don't love Kirk Cousins coming off of an Achilles injury and the fact that he's 36 or 37 or whatever he ends up being. I don't love that idea. The last time he had success with Kevin Stefanski was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we're talking about. That is forever in NFL terms. I don't have a better answer right now. Maybe, I mean, everybody else you're going to go down the list and look at. Justin Fields, okay, fine. Like, I think it's passed on Justin Fields a little bit. I'm not over the moon at the idea of, like, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, handsome Jimmy doesn't do it for me. All right, you'll see him this weekend, see what's there. Carson Wentz is like, ugh. I'm good. I'm real good. And so it feels like it's going to be veteran quarterback X, and Cousins, I think, is the best thing that's out there for the Browns to move this thing forward, and then have Deshaun Watson, air quote, compete with him in camp, and then bring in rookie quarterback X. I had somebody earlier throw out Jackson Dart. I'm in. Dude, Jackson Dart could sling it for Ole Miss. I'm not taking him in the first round. I partially wonder if some of his success has come from the fact that Lane Kiffin has guys running wide open in that offensive scheme. There's not a whole lot of times with Jackson Dart that you see him throw, and you're like, oh, that's a big-time throw. It's a little bit more along the lines of, like, you know, he can find the guy who is open. You are going to throw the ball here, and that's how that system goes. We'll see, though. We'll see. You can talk me into a quarterback there. I just don't want one at the top of this draft. I would rather take Carter out of Penn State. I would rather take Mason Graham out of Michigan. Travis Hunter, okay, sure, that works. I am just flat out, and I'm going to say it until the end, I am not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft. I'm not doing it. It's going to happen. You're going to hear everybody going. You're going to hear rumors of Cam Ward and the Browns being interested in Shedeur Sanders, and you're going to get it. You're going to get it coming from all sorts of different directions. I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft. I'm not forcing it. I lived the EJ Manuel life. I'm good. I'm good. I saw what happened with EJ Manuel. We all talked ourselves into that one. We all talked ourselves into people in that draft. The only one that really popped, I think, was Geno in that draft, and it took him 10 years, basically. I'm good. Might be just me. Ryan and Avon, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
I'm well, dude. How are you?
Hey, good. I've been listening in and out, so I got a couple more names to put on AB's ledger.
Love it.
Don't forget about Cade York.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That's a real bad miss. Yeah, good call. Thank you.
A big swing and a miss to not only take a kicker with a draft pick, but then miss on the guy and then have him cut him and then have him beat your kicker is not good.
And then handing the contract to Dustin Hopkins. You're right. That's another bad one. You're right.
I don't know if you mentioned Schwartz and Bell. Those were not great.
No, I didn't. But the problem is, man, Ryan, we're talking third-round picks.
I know, but, I mean, top three, it'd be nice to – and I get guys aren't going to be perfect, but we don't have a huge sample size, really, for draft picks for Barry, so that kind of cuts two ways. Like, you can use it in his favor. Newsom, I maybe call him not a bust or a hit. It's kind of – if you don't pick up a guy's fifth year or he's not with you in year five or six, that's not a hit. But I get your point. It's not a miss.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so like, I'll never forget when we used to have Randy Mueller on all the time, who was the former general manager of the Miami Dolphins, the New Orleans Saints. He's now working in New Orleans once again as a senior, I think he's a senior advisor or something like that. But I'll never forget the one time that he said to me, and he said to it on the air, he goes, well, Ted Ginn Jr., is Ted Ginn Jr. a bust? He played in the league for 10 years. And I was like, you're right. I can't call Ted Ginn Jr. a bust. He played in the league for 10 years. I can't call Greg Newsom a bust. He played in the league for 4 years. He's probably going to play another four.
I agree with you. We tend to be binary, and he probably fits somewhere in the middle. One other couple comments real quick, and I'll just finish up. I don't like people that say, take next year, like go after, Manning. There's no guarantee where we're going to be picking next year. Odds are the top two teams are going to need a quarterback. So people that are just like wishing into fruition, taking a quarterback next year just is really risky to keep, if you got a top two pick and there's a guy you think can do it, you probably got to make that pick. I understand what you're saying about how these guys are evaluated, but I mean, people don't evaluate quarterbacks very well. So,
but here's the, and you're right. You're right, Ryan. But here's the thing with these two. Everybody that you talk to who has watched them, Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, Mike Mayock, whoever you want to trust in this whole thing, has come back and said the same thing about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, which is, hey, the talent is there. They just need to sit for a year. And I just hear that, and I'm like, dude, I've lived in Cleveland for 30 years. Quarterbacks don't sit.
my question for you is if you're if you kind of have any optimism at all, like when do you want to be picking in the top two or three again? Hopefully not for
Hopefully not for a good period of time. You're right.
Yeah. Last thing I would say is I think we need to get some offense, even though I would love to put one of those defensive linemen on the line. Our offense is historically bad. So,
it's true.
I mean, my number one choice is to bump down, pick up picks, and maybe take that tight end from Penn State and go back to 12 personnel and Stefanski's offense and run the ball. But I don't know. It's tough.
I appreciate it, Ryan. Thank you. Yeah, Tyler Warren would look pretty good in this offense next to David Njoku. He would look pretty good. I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch that one take place. Some of that, I think, is just my inner Cleveland. You would have to take one of these guys, and the edict would have to come from on high, and it would have to be told to every single person here over and over and over again that if you took Cam Ward or if you took Shedeur Sanders, you would have to have it that this guy is not playing. Come hell or high water, this guy will not play until week 16. You would have to flat out Michael Penix it, where it's like, we want him to sit. We want him to learn. We are not going to force this, because what we have ran into before in many a situation with brown and orange jerseys on is that they say that and then it just flips really fast. It's very quick to go from, yes, this guy is going to sit. Oh, no, Derek Anderson's a mess. All right, get pretty Quinnen. This guy is going to sit. Oh, no, we just cut Brock Osweiler. All right, DeShon Kizer, get on in there. We've just been down this road too many times. You're going to have to trust me on Cody Kessler. Oh, no. Like, we could go through the history of the Browns. Quarterbacks sitting in Cleveland do not happen. And if you're telling me that the top two guys in this draft are immensely talented, but need to sit, and they need to learn, and they need to work on their footwork, and they need to work on reading defenses and how fast everything moves, I have a very, very hard time believing that that's going to take place in Cleveland. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter if you so desire. I got a couple New Year's resolutions for these teams. It's good to have them, good to set goals, good to make yourself a better person. Maybe you don't need the new year to do it, but it kind of helps. Dan Manigan in for Baskin and Phelps. 92. Dan Manigan in. All right, so this is the last day that we can do this due to the Larry David rule. We can wish everybody a very happy new year. We will move on from there. By the time we get here on Monday, be too late. It's not worth it. So, what goes well with that, And a lot of people love to do this as New Year's resolutions. And probably a lot of you listening do that. It's nice to have an end point and a beginning point of something that we can make some kind of change to make ourselves better. And whether that's I'm going to hit the gym, whether that's I'm going to be nicer, whether that's I'm not going to get hooked on the social media sites where I'm yelling and screaming at people who are basically there just to cause you to start yelling and screaming at them. There are a lot of good resolutions that are out there for all of us. So I figured let's throw some out to these teams as well. And if you have any, I'd love to hear from you at 216-474-0092. I want to throw out some New Year's resolutions to our teams. The New Year's resolution I have for the Cleveland Cavaliers, keep doing what you're doing, kids. It's pretty much the only resolution I've got because right now everything is working and right now everything looks great. So you keep doing you because, you know, you made a resolution last year that you were going to keep Donovan Mitchell and you were going to keep this thing together or bring in a new coach in Kenny Atkinson and it was all going to work out great. That's a great resolution. Good job. I don't even have one. That's all I can ask for. Just you keep doing what you're doing. It's basically like if your friend looked at you and said, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year. And he went, sure. I'll believe it when I see it when you lose 30 pounds. And then they walk in 35 pounds less weight. And you're like, wow, all right. I guess I'm an idiot. You're right. You did great. I'm proud of you. I don't know why I doubted you. That's kind of what I feel like with the Cavs. I really don't have one for them. It's like, man, you keep doing you. Life is good. For the Guardians, my New Year's resolution to them is a slight realization that your fans are really smart and your fans know how you operate. But it doesn't mean that you can continue to operate in this exact way. Your fans built a bond with Josh Naylor. Your fans built a bond with Andres Jimenez. And while, yes, we could point to Josh Naylor and say there's, you know, he was trying to hit for power more and the batting average was in the tank and he doesn't walk the way that he should. He does hit 32 bombs. We're a mid-market team. This is how we have to operate. You know, we've got to look at these guys and go, all right, we're not going to lock this guy in for a long period of time. We need to move on from him. Understand that your fans are going to be grumpy of this. Offer them something in between. My New Year's resolution to them is to offer something to your fans every so often that's better. And by that I mean, give us a Stephen Kwan extension. Give us a Kyle Manzardo extension. If you think he's going to be something great. Give us a Brian Rocchio extension if you think he's going to be something great. Give us one of those so that as a fan base, you have something that is stable here besides Jose Ramirez. You did it with Jose Ramirez, where he went, great, I'm here, let's go. And you know what? The fan base loves that because that means your fan base can buy into that player long term and you're not just perpetually looking at these guys like the doomsday clock is hanging over their heads. I made that reference often with Francisco Lindor. I always felt like with Francisco Lindor that every time we had that conversation, it was like the doomsday clock was just ticking in the dome in Springfield, and you just had that clock just ticking through the whole thing of when it was all going to end. I don't like that feeling. I don't like living in a world where I'm perpetually looking at these guys and thinking, okay, this is really fun, and I'm enjoying this, but the clock is ticking. Enjoy it while it's here. The clock is ticking. It's ticking. So give the fan base something. A Stephen Kwan extension would do wonders for this fan base. Everybody would be so excited for a Stephen Kwan extension. A Brian Rocchio extension. While there are some people out there who are still 50-50 on if Rocchio can take off and be a top-tier player, even just locking in somebody on this roster besides Jose Ramirez for a period of time would get people excited. So that's my resolution to them, is realize that your fan base trusts you, but your fan base also needs something to buy into. I think people trust the Guardians organization. I think people look at the guards and say they know what they're doing, they know how to operate, they know how to build, and we're going to trust you. And that's how I feel with these trades in the offseason and Naylor. And the trade of Andrés Giménez and bringing in the arms that they brought in is like, okay, I trust you. You have spit out this pitching factory better than anybody in the league. I'm just going to have to trust you. My New Year's resolution for the Browns is to just realize it's over. I know the financial ramifications that come with Deshaun Watson. I'm not cutting him. I understand why you don't cut him. I understand the void years on the end to lessen the blow. I am all in on doing all of those things. But my resolution to them is to realize it's over. Mary Kay Cabot earlier today coming in and saying, yeah, I think Deshaun Watson is going to contend for the starting quarterback job. Reading Jeremy Fowler's piece of the various scouts and people coming in and going, all right, well, Deshaun Watson's going to roll in here. And if his brain is together, then great. Great. He'll be the best quarterback and he'll win any quarterback competition. I don't care what Deshaun Watson looks like in practice. I've been tricked by Deshaun Watson in practice enough times. I don't need it to happen again. It's over. It's done. Offer him access to the facility. Come and go as you please. We'll help you rehab. Maybe we'll use you on scout team from time to time. If you want to work on some kind of a buyout, we're here for it. We'll work with you. Maybe we can renegotiate some of this. Lessen the blow. Get you out on the free agent market. Whatever you want. I'm in. But you are not a starting quarterback for this team. We are not going to have an honest quarterback competition in camp. It is going to be veteran quarterback X that we bring in. And we will go from there. That's my resolution to the Browns. My other resolution for the Browns and the Guardians as well. And the Cavs, we'll add them to this too. This is for all three of them. My resolution to all three teams in town is to just realize that your fans are smart and realize that behind those doors are not the nuclear codes. Behind the doors of this press conference is not Area 51. You do not need to operate like the Pentagon. You do not need to operate like what you are doing is life and death. And that we will give you little breadcrumbs, but we cannot give you real answers. For example, it would have been fine if Kevin Stefanski would have walked to the podium yesterday and said, yeah, Belichick is going to start for us today. I don't think anyone would have freaked out. I don't think there would have been hard-hitting follow-up questions. I don't think there would have been any of those things. The follow-up questions would have been, and what of DTR? Oh, he's the backup. He'll have a package. Beautiful. Thanks, Coach. Have you given up on DTR? Nope, haven't given up. Just want to slow it down for him. All right. Thanks, Coach. Like, just that little bit of honesty where we all sit back and read and go, okay, this makes sense. We bought in. Thank you. You have a plan. You look like you have a plan. That's the other thing. The Guardian side of it. Yeah, we're moving on from Josh Naylor because we didn't want to play his arbitration number because we think that what we could get in Carlos Santana is going to be better, and this pitcher that we picked up as well is somebody that we have a high ceiling of and think that he could be somebody that can affect this franchise and make us better. Okay, perfect. Love it. Thanks. It feels like sometimes we operate like these teams have, again, the nuclear codes behind these doors. And it's like, you don't. You can let us in. Other teams don't speak in noise-filled air and code and make it that we have to dig around and do all that kind of stuff. Just tell me. I know some things you want to keep close to the chest. Don't walk out there and go, yep, we're going after Kirk Cousins. We're going to bring him in, and then we're going to draft Jackson Dart. And that's going to be our quarterback competition. We'll have DTR in here as well to go with Deshaun Watson. Any questions? Of course, we would all love that. We think it'd be fantastic. You don't have to go that far. Just be honest with me. That's all. It's what I will forever ask of all of these teams. Just be honest. I know that they come out and tell you the truth as of that moment. But some of the stuff you make more complicated than you need to, just because you decide you want to be secret. And so those are my resolutions for the team. For the Cavs, you keep doing you. You're doing great, bud. You dropped that 30 pounds, and I questioned it, and I was very wrong. Good for you. You keep going. Whatever resolution you make, I'm in. For the guards, give me something that I can sink my teeth into. Give me something that shows the future of this team is currently on the roster. Give me somebody that I can buy a jersey for my niece, my nephew, and myself. Whether it's a Stephen Kwan extension, a Brian Rocchio extension, a Kyle Manzardo extension, a Bo Naylor extension. Just give me something. And for the Browns, I will say it until the end. Just be honest with me. My resolution for the Cleveland Browns is to be honest with your fan base because they're smarter than you let on. And if you would be honest with them, you'd get way less vitriol and hate. 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. We're blessed. We're privileged. We're over the moon for what's coming next. He is the legend Tim May. He is fresh from Pasadena. And I'm sure he had a good old time, like all of us did with Ohio State versus Oregon. Dan Manigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, the legend, Tim May, next.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.